This episode is presented by State Farm. Having insurance isn't the same as having State Farm. It's like needing the protection of an offensive guard on the football field, but getting an elementary school crossing guard. Sure, they're both guards, but you can only trust one to keep your quarterback safe when the game is on the line. So don't settle for just any insurance when there's State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Introducing Oakley Meta Vanguard, the new performance AI glasses designed for athletes. With hands-free capture on an action-ready ultra-wide camera, powerful open-ear speakers, and built-in Meta AI that syncs with your Garmin devices for real-time insights while you train. Take your performance to the next level with Oakley Meta Vanguard. Athletic intelligence is here. Learn more on meta.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
Oh my God, you guys are my favorite.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. The one and only Rich Eisen.
I know what I'm talking about. That's the headline.
The Rich Eisen Show with guest host Dan Schwartzman.
I mean, honestly, he's brilliant. He's a poet.
Dan Schwartzman.
Oh my gosh.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. And now, sitting in for Rich, it's Dan Schwartzman.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show. That's right. I am Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Black Friday on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. You can reach us at 888-SAY-ESPN. That's 888-729-3776. And I'm all over the place because I've had a lot of coffee today, and it is starting to kick in, my friends. It is absolutely kicking in. And I'm, you know, watched a lot of NFL football yesterday. Turkey Day it was. But my eyes today, yes, 3 o'clock Eastern time in a couple hours as the show ends, I'm going to watch a little NFL again. Why not? You got the Bears. You got the Eagles, 2-8-3 teams matching up. Great game. Okay. Anytime you have teams with winning records playing, it's a lot of fun. But I'm kind of right. You know, it's funny. I'm looking at this Egg Bowl, Mississippi State. And I'm actually watching today, not because the outcome is of interest to me. It's the fact that we are potentially watching Lane Kiffin's last game coaching at Ole Miss. And he's in this enviable position where he is the hottest woman at prom right now. Okay? Everybody wants to dance with her. Everybody wants to dance with Lane Kiffin right now. And they all seem to be SEC teams, right? Florida, LSU, Ole Miss trying to retain Kiffin. He's turned that program around. They're 10-1. They win the Egg Bowl. They're 11-1. College football playoffs. You know, I mean, they're a good team. The guy clearly can coach. He's an X's and O's guy. He can recruit. We saw him do it when he was on his redemption tour as Nick Saban's offensive coordinator. And I do have to say this for all the haters out there. If it wasn't for Lane Kiffin, Nick Saban never would have modernized himself as a head coach. All right? You have got to give Lane Kiffin a lot of credit for the change in offense at Alabama. They went from a run first, pass second, boring old school offense to lighting it up. Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks, wide receivers, lots of yards in the air. And that was due to Lane Kiffin. So give the guy the credit that is due. I understand if you're a Tennessee fan, you can't stand Lane Kiffin. He abandoned you after 1 year. If you're a Raider fan, I understand. They brought him in at 31 years old, incredibly arrogant. Out of there. Didn't last very long. He was not the right guy for that job. The redemption at Alabama under Nick Saban brought him back, and he's done an incredible job at Ole Miss. He really has done an awesome job. And now he's got to make a decision. And from what we hear, that decision will come tomorrow. And he's relishing in this. He's loving it. The attention he is getting, because look, it's Ole Miss. If you want to break down the SEC and the sexy jobs in the SEC, Ole Miss ain't it. Right? Alabama, that's a sexy job. Tennessee, maybe the sheen is a little off, but it's still Knoxville. 105,000 at Neyland Stadium. It's a big job. Oklahoma, Texas, we forget they're now in the SEC, right? Ole Miss will never be that top upper echelon type of college job that you strive for. It's not the end all job like Michigan or Notre Dame or Alabama, right? Ohio State. Those are the jobs that you strive for. You start small, Mid-American Conference, Maction on a Tuesday on ESPN, right? You start at one of those jobs, like an Urban Meyer, somebody like that. Nick Saban, of course, did the same thing. Then you win there. You get that next job. Maybe make the big jump to a Florida. Or in Urban Meyer's case, he went to Utah, kind of a slight step up. And then, of course, being successful there, he made the jump to Florida. That's a big job. So my point is, for Lane Kiffin, he's not at that big job where it's, I've done it. This is where I want to be. This is where I want to end my career. He can, no question, recruit there. He's done it. But it's still a little bit more difficult to recruit to Ole Miss than it is to, say, Alabama or Notre Dame or Ohio State or Michigan or Texas or Oklahoma, USC. A legacy type of place, right? It's not like Ole Miss has had a ton of success to where you're walking a recruit through and say, look at that national championship trophy. Look at that national championship trophy or this Hall of Famer, that Hall of Famer. It's not quite the same. But when you have a school like LSU who is clearly after you the way that he does, I think you got to take that job. Even Florida. Florida has not had a ton of success. They haven't. They haven't been very good. But it's still the swamp. It's still Florida. It's also a better state to recruit than Mississippi. There is talent coming out of Mississippi, but it's not the pipeline that a Florida gives you if you keep all the talent in state. So really, if you're Ole Miss watching Lane Kiffin right now, coaching you potentially to a victory over the in-state rival, the Egg Bowl, Mississippi State, this is probably it for Lane Kiffin. I would be surprised if he stays there. And if he does, it's because he feels he's making the right decision. But I have to tell you, it's not the right decision. It's time to take that step up. Everybody wants to step up in their role. Everybody, whatever you do out there, whatever job that you have, you strive for more. You want to make more money. You want to get to the managerial position. You want to become a director, a vice president, president, whatever it is. You want to make more money. You want the bigger title. And Lane Kiffin is a guy who has always craved bigger, bigger, bigger. And here's an opportunity. Success at Ole Miss. It's now time to move on bigger. The big boys, that job that you strive for, the end-all job. And LSU, to me, is that job. And as much as Brian Kelly did not work, you know, in Baton Rouge, now, surprised he didn't. I thought he would succeed in Baton Rouge. I thought for a guy to do what he did at Notre Dame, where it is harder to recruit because academics does play more of a role, I thought he was going to succeed at LSU, where maybe he had less strings to deal with in terms of getting guys to go there. Didn't work out. They had to pay 50 some odd million dollars in a buyout. That's going to become probably an ugly situation as it continues. But if you're Lane Kiffin, how do you turn down LSU? I don't think you can. How do you turn down Florida? Sadly, Ole Miss is the third best job of the three. Him staying where he is now is probably the third best job of his options. But did you see kind of the interesting aspect of this courtship from LSU and Florida? So Lane Kiffin has been saying the right things. He's not thinking about this. He's just thinking about, you know, coaching the next game, coaching the Egg Bowl, whatever it might be. The next opponent on the schedule, like any good head coach would say, I'm not letting the outside noise bother me. We are just going to talk about the next opponent. Okay, that's the right thing to say. But yet, like, he's had the private jets that have taken his family to do, like, the recruiting trip, right? And his ex-wife apparently has been one of the people that has been brought to Baton Rouge or to Florida to check out the area, check out the campus, probably check out the living conditions there. The ex-wife has played a role in doing that. The first time I saw that, that boggled my mind. I have an ex-wife. I wouldn't send her out to go look for a place for me to live. Apparently they have a very good relationship. Okay, that's awesome, by the way. And I believe Lane Kiffin's daughter is dating a player on LSU. Does that play a role in a positive or negative manner for him going to take the job at Baton Rouge? But you gotta take that job. You gotta be out of your mind to turn down LSU or Florida to stay at Ole Miss. Because it's about making sure the next job you take in your progression is a better job than the one you have now. And those two jobs are just, no offense, if you are an Ole Miss grad, if you are there currently, I am not ripping you. I am not trying to speak ill of the school or the football program. It's the reality of the situation. If you're at Ole Miss and Auburn is calling, or Arkansas is calling, or a middle SEC school like those two I mentioned, then I say, stay at Ole Miss. It's a lateral move to go to Auburn or to Arkansas or Vanderbilt or a school like that. Okay? It is a lateral move. You don't leave Ole Miss for those jobs. Those, to me, are not the end-all, be-all jobs. But you're talking about, I mean, these are big offers he's getting. And if the money's equal, if it's right there, maybe Lane Kiffin in his life at this point has calmed down to where he doesn't care about getting higher and higher in his career. He's really, truly happy where he is. Although when a coach speaks, you can never take them seriously when they talk about how they love a place. Do you remember the whole Tommy Tuberville thing where he was at Texas Tech, I think it was? I believe that. No, maybe he ended up there. But he was, before he took the Auburn job, Tommy Tuberville was asked about the job when there was a flirtation going on. And I think he said that they would bury him where he was, and a day or two later, he literally took the Auburn job and he left. So you can never trust a head coach when they tell you how much they love a place and they would never leave and it's where they want to be and raise their family and retire there and all that nonsense. You never believe them. So when Lane Kiffin tells you he hasn't thought about it, he's not interested, he's just worried about the next opponent on Saturday or, of course, today being Friday, you never believe him. They think about these things. They talk about these things. You know, when players are transferring in these portals and leaving schools and going to three colleges in a six-year college career, coaches are just as bad. Coaches are terrible, too. They will leave in a lurch. They're gone. Better offer, they're gone. Sometimes you can't blame them. Lane Kiffin leaves Ole Miss tomorrow for LSU or Florida. I hate to tell you this. I would not blame him. It is a better job for him to take. If he decides to leave, you cannot hold that against him. Right now, Ole Miss is winning the Egg Bowl 14-7 over Mississippi State, on their way to being 11-1 if this continues. Now reports are coming in Florida may be looking away from Lane Kiffin, and you have to believe maybe because LSU is where he would rather be. I wouldn't blame him. LSU is the place to go. But if you're LSU, how much money are you investing in these guys, right? The governor of the state talking about the guaranteed money situation. It's cost him 50-some-odd million dollars to have to pay out Brian Kelly because the strategy is you want a coach to always have 5 years in terms of a length of a contract because when he goes to recruit, he can tell a recruit, hey, I'm going to be here for your entire college career. I still have 5 years left on my contract. Doesn't mean anything, frankly, right? But that's what they tell guys. But if you're going to sign Lane Kiffin away from Ole Miss, if you're going to hire him away, you're going to have to give him a lot of guaranteed money. You're talking 10, 11, 12. He's going to be potentially the highest paid head coach in college football. Actually, I'm going to tell you this right now. Everybody listening, you guys in the control booth, Lane Kiffin will be the highest paid college football coach of all time when this contract either to remain at Ole Miss or go to LSU is announced. He will be the highest paid head coach in the history of college football because that's what it's going to take these days. Because it's like the quarterback position in the NFL. You don't have to be the best. You just have to be available at the right time. And with Lane Kiffin, he is the hottest thing right now in coaching that is available. And for LSU, they have to make a big splash. You get a guy like him to come to Baton Rouge, that's the big splash we're talking about. And he will be the highest paid head coach in the history, of college football when he makes his mind up, I guess, tomorrow as to where he will be. I guarantee you that. No question about it. He will be. And if I'm a betting man, and it's dangerous to say that these days, but thankfully I have no money, so I don't bet. Okay? I really don't. I am, scout's honor, if that's what you want to call it. Pinky swear. I don't bet. I will tell you Lane Kiffin tomorrow is going to LSU. Because he should. And they can pay him more. Those boosters will gladly open the wallets and bring in Lane Kiffin, and he will be the highest paid head coach in the history of college football. All right, let's get back to the NFL. Let's do it. Let's get back. I cannot avoid talking about the Ravens and the Bengals. I cannot avoid it any longer. Joe Burrow made his return yesterday, and it shows you what it means to be a competent quarterback and how you turn the fortunes of a team around. I will explain that next. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
This message is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union. As the holiday season rolls around, we know that you strive to do everything you can to bring cheer and joy to your loved ones. And as a credit union dedicated to serving all veterans, active duty, and their families, we understand that every little bit counts. That's why, for a limited time, you could earn a $250 cash bonus when you spend $2,500 with Navy Federal's Cash Rewards and Cash Rewards Plus cards in the first 90 days. But the giving doesn't stop there. You could also earn up to 2% unlimited cash back with these cards. So saving up for whatever the season brings just got a little easier. Give joy. Get joy. Join now at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA. Visit NavyFederal.org/cash rewards for details. Cashback terms and conditions apply. Offer ends January 1st, 2026. Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. The holidays are all about connection, and Sonos speakers make every moment sound amazing. Imagine your favorite playlist flowing from room to room, movie nights that feel like the theater, or the big game filling your living room with stadium-quality sound. Whether it's a gift for someone you love or a little to-me-from-me moment, Sonos is the perfect gift that brings high-quality sound to every room. Sonos' Black Friday sale is on now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
We're going to stop with this. We're going to keep going with this. More Christmas music. The Rich Eisen Show. I promise you, that's what it is. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich on this Black Friday. ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That is actually one of my favorite Christmas songs, I'll tell you right now. That's one of the good ones. Jose Feliciano. Although, Renee, you said it with a beautiful accent before.
Jose Feliciano.
It? It's like watching Telemundo. You say it and, oh, it's like, wow, you throw
Telemundo,
that
Univision.
You know?
Yeah, man. I got it all for you here.
You can roll the R's probably well, right?
Yeah, I can actually.
Renee. Very fancy sounding.
Thank you.
Ah. All right, now I'm back in the Christmas mode. All right, let's talk about this Bengals win yesterday. Surprising. Got to tell you, surprised. All right, Bengals have struggled this year. Joe Burrow out 2.5 months, was expected to come back in December. But he came back earlier, and he played yesterday on Turkey Day. Baltimore coming off five straight wins. They looked terrible to start the year. They rebounded. You thought, okay, all right. Now they're playing like the Ravens of the John Harbaugh era. And I'll tell you what, Bengals, especially in that second half, have absolutely dominated. And, you know, as a Jet fan that has struggled to find a competent person to play the quarterback position all these years, yesterday is the exact reason why the quarterback position is the most important position in all of sports. Okay? I understand how important a pitcher is in baseball. I get it. Okay? But you got five starters. You got a lot of guys in the bullpen these days. One starter struggles. Other guys can pick up the slack. The goalie in hockey is a very difficult, incredibly important position. But these days, a lot of teams have very competent backup goalies. Okay? But the quarterback position is the hardest position in all of sports to replace. Because the drop-off any team has from their starting quarterback to the backup is literally mountains in between, right? Talent-wise. If your team loses their starting quarterback, chances are your season is wrecked. You are done. You are not going to recover. You could have Super Bowl aspirations in training camp. Your quarterback goes down with a season-ending injury. You are done. You're not going to recover from that. Because the guy who's replacing your starting quarterback, I guarantee you, isn't half the player that your starter is. Very rarely do you have a situation where a Tom Brady goes down, Matt Castle takes over, you still win 11 games, although they missed the playoffs that year. They won 11 games amazingly with Matt Castle, okay? That was a surprise. Very rarely is there an instance where a team has, at least wins and losses wise, not a massive drop-off. When Aaron Rodgers, 2 years ago, when I finally thought the Jets had found the quarterback with the talent they had elsewhere to win something, I'm watching that Monday, was it Monday night, I think it was, when he's running out with the flag at MetLife Stadium, and I told my wife and kids, leave me alone. I'm going to watch this Jet game. Aaron Rodgers' era is beginning. This is where my Jets go from being laughingstocks to actually being Super Bowl contenders. And I'm pumping my chest out. I'm excited. Four plays in, he goes down, and I am cursing up a storm. And my wife comes in and goes, what happened? What's wrong? And I'm like, you're not going to believe this. That's a serious injury. They are done. Because the guy behind Aaron Rodgers is not remotely close to being Aaron Rodgers. He can barely carry his water. And then she gives me the whole, well, why are you rooting for this team? It always happens, right? Like, if it's going to happen to any team, it's going to be the Jets. I'm like, honey, you're right. Now, can you leave me alone? Right? I'm miserable right now. So the Bengals were 3-8 going into this game. And why? Because they didn't have Joe Burrow for 2.5 months. He went out week two, by the way, during that game. That's how long he's been out. Without Joe Burrow, and if they're playing a Joe Flacco or somebody like that, they're not winning in Baltimore yesterday. They're just not winning that game. It's not happening. But here he comes back. And remember, when Joe Burrow is healthy, he is a superstar quarterback. He is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. And he comes back yesterday, throws for 2 touchdowns, dominates again, and they win the game. And he has had a tough time staying healthy. Remember back in 2020, his rookie year, he goes down. In 2023, he goes down. He's off to a big start. He went down. This year again, he goes down. But when he's healthy, people forget, last year Joe Burrow threw for almost 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Talk about a touchdown to interception ratio, 43-9. Okay? This is a guy that's thrown almost 100 more touchdowns in his career to interceptions. Legitimate superstar. When Joe Burrow is in, the Bengals are a legit team. When he's out, like any other team losing their starting quarterback, they're in trouble. And my whole point is this. Once again, it shows you that you need to have that position filled. And as a Jet fan, okay, I can't tell you. Look, Chad Pennington showed promise. Unfortunately, he couldn't stay healthy. He was probably the guy that potentially could have been something for them. But besides, you know, they drafted what? Sam Darnold wasn't good for them. Zach Wilson wasn't good for them. Mark Sanchez wasn't good for them. Three guys drafted in the top five of their drafts, and none of them panned out. And by the way, anybody sitting there saying, well, look at Sam Darnold now, how good he was with Minnesota last year and how good he is with Seattle. Let me tell you something. Wouldn't have happened with the Jets, okay? He never would have been this quarterback with the Jets because of the fact they don't have the coaching. You have to coach the talent out of Sam Darnold. He came into the NFL from USC with flaws, people forget. He did turn the ball a lot. He did turn over the ball a lot his last year at USC before he came to the NFL. And remember that whole suck for Sam thing they did? It was a big deal. I remember that. When the Jets got him, I was very excited. They won that first game against Detroit. Remember, his first pass, I think, was picked off. And after that, they dominating that game. And I thought, well, there you go. We've turned the corner. We have ourselves a quarterback. 3 years later, they got rid of him. And rightfully so at the time. And probably did him a favor, okay? My whole point is, yesterday is exactly the microcosm of why the quarterback position is the most important position in all of sports. And I'm jealous and I'm envious of teams that fill that position with a competent player. If you're a Packers fan, I wish you a lump of coal in your stocking. Because you went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. Okay, I went from Sam Darnold to Trevor Siemian to whatever slop the Jets put at quarterback, to Zach Wilson, I'm about to cry here, to who am I missing? I mean, Justin Fields, Jack, okay, open your mic, Renee, again, what, Jackson Smith
in Jigba
has more receiving yards than Justin Fields has passing yards this year. I'm not joking. That's an incredible statistic. That a wide receiver has more yards than an actual starting quarterback in the NFL. So you look at teams that have been able to judge talent at that position, and it is hard to do so, and it is a crapshoot. I understand that. And I am envious because it's the biggest difference in the world. You could have a heck of a running game. You could have great wide receivers. You put Garrett Wilson on another team like, say, Seattle, or Cincinnati, or Dallas. And you look at the numbers the CeeDee Lambs of the world are putting up. Jamar Chase. Jackson, Smith, and Jigba. I did it. There you go. Okay? Was that right? Yes, I'm getting a slow clap. Nice. Thank you, guys. But you put Garrett Wilson in another situation, he's going to put up these types of ridiculous yards. He's that good. So the quarterback, you put Joe Burrow back into that Cincinnati lineup yesterday, and it is a different story. They win the game. They win it in incredible fashion on the road. Domination over a former league MVP, Lamar Jackson. A Hall of Fame running back in Derrick Henry. A coach who's done nothing but win, at least regular season games in Baltimore and Harbaugh. Cincinnati without Joe Burrow, they don't win yesterday. Doesn't happen. You put Joe Burrow in there, look at the difference. That's why if you're Cincinnati, you got to keep the guy upright. As good as the statistics were for Joe Burrow last year, almost 5,000 yards, 43 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, completed almost 71% of his passes. Do you know what number stood out to me the most? 48 sacks. You cannot let your quarterback be sacked 48 times if you want to keep them upright and win games. You have got to protect your quarterback. That's a bad job, and it's not like Joe Burrow is a running quarterback. He's not this athletic running quarterback that's going to be like a Justin Fields or a Lamar Jackson or somebody of that caliber in terms of being able to use their wheels for success. That's not Joe Burrow. But you have to keep him upright. 48 times of being sacked last year is atrocious. It's a different story in that city if you keep this guy upright. Meanwhile, for the Baltimore Ravens, it's head scratching. You know, what is this team? Like, honestly, what is this team? They've been known for so long for their defense, right? They've been known so long to be this juggernaut defensively that keeps you in a game. That regardless if it's Joe Flacco at quarterback or whatever the situation is, they're going to run the football down your throat and they're going to win with their defense. That's how they won a Super Bowl. They won with their defense. Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, Haloti Ngata, guys like that. They won with defense. I'm looking at that team yesterday defensively and I'm thinking to myself, who are these guys? Marlon Humphrey, really good player. Kyle Hamilton, great player. But they're just not getting to the quarterback like you expect a Baltimore Ravens defense to do so. That was the calling card. You had a dominating secondary that allowed guys to get to the quarterback because receivers were covered. You had dominating defensive linemen, right? You were going to run up the middle on this team. Quarterbacks were fearing this defense. That's not the case anymore. I don't think anybody right now is really fearing the Baltimore Ravens defense. The calling card is gone. It's not the same cast of characters. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 here on a Black Friday, talking about the Turkey Day games, the triple header from the NFL. But that to me is the issue when it comes to the Ravens. I don't think they're that good. They're not. I don't put them in that upper echelon that they've been accustomed to being in for a while now. They have the stability in terms of coaching. They have the stability in terms of the quarterback. Lamar Jackson did not play well yesterday. He really did not. He's having himself another pretty good season. You know, Lamar Jackson to me is a guy that you can obviously win a Super Bowl with. And he's coming off a tremendous year last year. MVP season. He's that good. Hasn't been the same guy this year. There's been some struggles this year. Still pretty good. Don't get me wrong. Still pretty good. But Lamar Jackson has not been the same player right now as he was last year. Maybe we've set the bar so high with him throughout this portion of his career, only 28 years old still, that when he's still pretty good and we would probably yearn to have this Lamar Jackson on most teams, it's still not the same guy. And when Derrick Henry started the season off and had that first game of the year where he rushed against Buffalo, that game that they somehow blew, he rushed for 170 yards in that game. You thought, okay, same Derrick Henry. He's over that 30-year-old mark. He's 31 years old. Okay, he'll be fine. No problem. No letdown. Then he struggled a bit. He's had some good games this year, but he has struggled a bit here and there. Hasn't been the same player that rushed for 1,900 yards last year. There's been a letdown with that entire team this year. And when we talk about parity in the NFL and who do you stands out and who potentially can make noise when it counts in terms of must-win games at the end of a year or the postseason or even in the Super Bowl, Kansas City, as much as they've struggled, you're like, I'm not going to bet against Patrick Mahomes. I'm not going to bet against Andy Reid. At some point, you think they're going to wake up. It's going to be a different story, right? The Buffalo Bills, all right, Josh Allen's been up and down. Bills have had some bad losses this year, especially recently. But it's still the Buffalo Bills. They should be okay. The Colts are surprising people with Daniel Jones, Jonathan Taylor. They've been pretty good. Denver's been a surprise out in the West, the Chargers. But I just don't think, and they've given me no reason to think, that the Baltimore Ravens are a team that can come out of this AFC. I don't see it. I really don't. Every team has holes right now, right? Every team to me to a point is Swiss cheese. The Patriots are 10-2. Drake May is right now possibly the league MVP. I'm still not believing in them. They don't lose on the road, which is amazing, and Vrabel's been awesome. But for some reason, at 10-2, best record in the AFC and best record right now in the entire NFL, I still, for some reason, don't seem to think that they're the favorite. I know that sounds crazy, and they probably should be the favorite. And I'm not saying this because I'm a Jet fan and I'm jealous. And I am jealous, by the way, that they drafted Drake May, who's going to kill my Jets for the next 15 years. But there's still something about that team where there are holes that I'm like, I don't know. They can run the football. Not great, but they can run the football. Okay. I think to a point they're relying a lot on a really young quarterback. At some point you wonder, when push comes to shove and it's the playoffs and Drake May has to make plays. Is he going to do so in a pressure-packed environment, like if they play in Kansas City or whatever, Buffalo? I don't know. They've won 9 in a row. He's looked great, but this is the regular season. It's a different story. So my point being that I look at Baltimore in a season where anybody can come out of the AFC, and I don't see it. I don't think they're in that conversation. Even with Joe Burrow back, remember, he's missed 2.5 months. He's going to have a situation where he is a little bit rusty, you would think. You're at home. It's the holiday crowd. You got to win that game. You can't get blown out by 18 points. It's embarrassing. That's a wake-up call. They're not it this year. Baltimore Ravens are not it. I hate to tell you that. They're just not it. Want to get into today's matchup. Kickoff in about an hour and 20 minutes or so. 8-3 Bears. 8-3 Eagles. At the link in Philadelphia. Amazing when you read Philadelphia media about that team coming off a Super Bowl win with a head coach, Nick Sirianni, who's done nothing but win. But if you read the headlines, you read the stories, you have to think to yourself, my goodness, are we thinking about the same team here? People criticizing the quarterback. Meanwhile, Chicago turning a corner. They have the young stud quarterback in Williams, the new head coach, and they're 8-3. Do you believe in that team? And can the Philadelphia Eagles change the perception around that team this year, despite being 8-3, that they can continue to be the best team in the NFC? Remember, they are defending Super Bowl champions. We will get into this matchup. That is coming up next. Dan Schwartzman on a Black Friday in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80.
If you've shopped online, chances are you've bought from a business powered by Shopify. You know that purple Shop Pay button you see at checkout? The one that makes buying so incredibly easy? That's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it. Because Shopify makes it incredibly easy to start and run your business. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. From household names like Mattel and Gymshark to brands just getting started, Shopify gives you a leg up with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style and forget about the code. Tackle all those important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more. Spread your brand's word with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And did I mention that iconic purple Shop Pay button that's used by millions of businesses around the world? It's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/network. Go to shopify.com/network. Shopify.com/network. As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Oh, there we go. Now we're getting to like the cool, fun Christmas music. Not the old school stuff. Not the Mariah ballads. This is the fun stuff. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen, the Rich Eisen Show. ESPN Radio, ESPN App, SiriusXM, Channel 80. There we go. How about that? Who is this? Is it? I was going to say it's Run DMC. Run DMC, but I'm like, do they do Christmas music?
Oh, they did there.
What are you going to play next, an NWA Christmas tune? I mean, come on.
You just hang on to your seats over there.
Whoa. How many more breaks do I have on this show? This is, you're setting the bar high a little early in the show here. Only halfway through here. Man, is there an Eminem Christmas special that I missed out on?
No, let's not take it that
Could
far.
You believe if he did? I mean, if Eminem did Christmas songs, I would be mind blown. Absolutely. I was kind of mind blown that Run DMC did Christmas music. Wow. All right. That really jacked me up. Big game coming up. Kickoff in about an hour and 15 minutes in Philly. The Link. Spent a lot of days watching Eagles games at the Link when I worked in Philly. Good crowd. Loyal fan base. Good team. A bit strict when they come to their fans and their expectations. For crying out loud, this is an 8-3 team atop the NFC East. Super Bowl champions. They've won two Super Bowls in recent memory. And yet somehow fans aren't happy. Jalen Hurts, statistically, having a nice year. Tough to argue with a guy that is thrown 17 touchdowns, one pick. I understand he hasn't been quote-unquote great. There have been issues. Apparently he freelances a little too much out there, and that seems to be what people are complaining about. Saquon Barkley coming off one of the great years a running back has ever had last year, 2,000 yards. Actually even sat out a game, could have set the NFL single-season record if he decided to play, but he sat out. It worked out because he was healthy in the postseason. They won a Super Bowl. You know what? It worked out. If they didn't, you can say, hey, man, come on. Be competitive. The Barkley went from averaging 5.8 yards a carry last year behind an incredibly great offensive line. That Eagles offensive line last year, one of the best we've ever seen, okay? I'm telling you right now, with Mailata and with Johnson and the talent they had on that offensive line, it was as if Saquon Barkley was 4 yards deep before he was even touched. This year, it's been a different story. Saquon Barkley has gone from averaging 5.8 yards a carry last year. He's averaging 3.7 yards a carry this year. That is a mind-blowing statistic. He is literally averaging 2 yards less per carry than he did a year ago. 2 yards less a carry. That's a huge differential from 1 year to the next. So Philly, clearly not the same team it was. I understand that. They're still 8-3. But winning spoils a fan base. When you win a lot, fans always have higher expectations. No one's ever satisfied. It's human nature. Very few people say, you know what, guys? We won a Super Bowl. You know, I don't care about the next 10 years. I'm good. They struggle. Who cares? No, fans want more. You taste that win, you want to taste it again. No one tastes, some sort of food that they've never had before, and they love it and say, yeah, you know what? I don't want that again. You strive for it. You crave it, right? You make a certain amount of money 1 year. You're like, man, that was fun to live on that. I got to do that again. That's human nature. You taste championship success. You taste wins. And you crave more of it. You want nothing but that. That feeling. That high. Never got into drugs. Got to throw that out there. Okay? But people say, whoa, you do it once. Oh, my goodness. It's the greatest thing. Blah, blah. Whatever it is. I understand that. You reach a certain feeling. Dopamine, adrenaline, whatever it might be. And you crave it again and again and again. You need it again. What did I say? It's human nature. And for Eagle fans that used to be satisfied just winning a bunch of games, getting to the playoffs, NFC championship games. And I'm talking about that Andy Reid era where they did get to one Super Bowl. They lost. Man, they got to, what, 5 NFC championship games. They won one, lost 4 of them. Eagle fans were satisfied because they had come off a stretch of having very little success. And then Andy Reid put them on the next level of being successful every year, winning a bunch of games. And it changed the fans' perception. They got spoiled. And then after Andy Reid had a bad year and they went in a different direction, and by the way, it was a right move at the time, I think Andy's message in Philly got stale. Players weren't gravitating, weren't reacting to it. He goes to Kansas City, starts new, and he's, of course, had a tremendous run, 3 Super Bowls there, and they've played in another one. They lost, but he's won 3 Super Bowls, got lucky with Patrick Mahomes, and he reinvented himself, rejuvenated himself, and Andy Reid is Andy Reid. But Philly brings in a guy, Nick Sirianni. Jury was out. And he's done nothing but win. And yet it's very interesting to me. And I think ESPN did a good article about this recently, where they talked about Nick Sirianni and why it is he seems to be on a level where people have a higher expectation for him than others, right? Like, it's as if with all the success he's had, it's not enough, and people still question him. It's a very strange dynamic, but it happens. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that he is in Philadelphia with a very tough fan base. It is as tough a fan base, and I say this admirably, like in a good way. It is as tough a fan base as you're going to find anywhere in any sport. They are tough. Win or lose, they are tough. Lose, forget it. Even if you win, it doesn't mean that you've endeared yourself to that fan base. You haven't. And I'm not going to throw out the, well, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Yeah, that happened a very long time ago. Let's go past that, okay? At some point, Philly wants people to go past the fact that they threw snowballs at Santa Claus. They do like Santa Claus there. They probably like the Christmas music we've been playing throughout the course of this show. But it is a position where you look at it, and Nick Sirianni seems to be having to climb a higher mountain than other head coaches in the NFL, regardless of success. And he's had a lot of success. And same with Jalen Hurts now. You're seeing it with him. Jalen Hurts has done nothing but win in Philly, right? He's been very successful. He's won Super Bowls. At least one. And it's as if it's not enough. And in a big season where they're still 8-3, and they're the favorite to win today, for some reason, he is still being questioned as if he has to prove himself. Donovan McNabb was a heck of a quarterback in Philly, 6 Pro Bowls, brought stability to that position. And if you ask half the people in Philly if they were fans of his and half if they were not, you're going to get different opinions on him, regardless of the fact that he won games for them. It's a strange city, and you're seeing it when you think about the Eagles and the success, but yet fans talk as if it's not enough. They need to win more, and they will win more. But it's kind of unfair to a point what the expectations are. We have another hour coming up next. Dan Schwartzman in for Rich Eisen. It's the Rich Eisen Show on ESPN and the ESPN app.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.